बालोपि कुरुते शास्त्रं दृष्ट्वा ब्रजविलासना. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braja, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. Report. One can ascertain the meaning of this Sanskrit sloka only when one is endowed with the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Sri Krishna, being the absolute personality of Godhead, cannot be exposed to the mundane instruments of vision. He reserves the right not to be exposed by the intellectual feats of non-devotees. Notwithstanding this truth, even a small child can easily understand Lord Sri Krishna and his transcendental pastimes in the land of Vrindavan by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nityananda. All glories to Sri Advaita Acharya. And all glories to all the devotees of Lord Chaitanya. Chaturtas Lokera Artha Koila Vivarana Panchamaslokera Artha Shuna Bhaktagan. I have described the meaning of the fourth verse. Now, O devotees, kindly hear the explanation of the fifth verse. Mula Slokera Artha Kurite Prakash Artha Lagaite Age Kahiye Abhas. Just to explain the original verse, I shall first suggest its meaning. I have given the essential meaning of the fourth verse. This incarnation descends to propagate the chanting of the holy name and spread love of God. Although this is true, this is but the external reason for the Lord's incarnation. Please hear one other reason, the confidential reason for the Lord's appearance. The scriptures proclaim that Lord Krishna previously descended to take away the burden of the earth. To take away this burden, however, is not the work of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The maintainer, Lord Vishnu, is one who protects the universe. But the time to lift the burden of the world mixed with the time for Lord Krishna's incarnation. We have information from the Gita that the Lord appears at particular intervals to adjust a time-worn spiritual culture. Lord Sri Krishna appeared at the end of the Dwapara Yuga to regenerate the spiritual culture of human society and also to manifest his transcendental pastimes. Vishnu is the authorized Lord who maintains the material, the created cosmos. He is also the principal deity who makes adjustments for improper administration in the cosmic creation. Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and he appears not to make such administrative adjustments, but only to exhibit his transcendental pastimes, and thus attract the fallen souls back home, back to Godhead. However, the time for administrative rectification and the time for Lord Sri Krishna's appearance coincided at the end of the last Dwapara Yuga. Therefore, when Sri Krishna appeared, Vishnu, the Lord of Maintenance, also merged in him, because all the plenary portions and parts of the Absolute Personality of Godhead merge in him during his appearance. Purna Bhagavan Avatari Ye Kale Arasaba Avatara Tanti Asi Mile. When the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead descends, all other incarnations of the Lord meet together within him. Lord Narayan, the four primary expansions, Vasudev, Shankarasham, Prajumana, and Aniruddha, Matsya and the other Leela incarnations, the Yuga avatars and the Manvantar of incarnations, and as many other incarnations as there are, all descend in the body of Lord Krishna. In this way, the complete supreme Godhead, Lord Krishna himself, appears. At that time, therefore, Lord Vishnu is present in the body of Lord Krishna, and Lord Krishna kills the demons through him. Thus, the killing of the demons is but secondary work. I shall now speak of the main reason for the Lord's incarnation. Prema rasa nirayasa korite ashvadan, raga marga bhakti loki korite pracharan, rasika sekhara krishna parama karuna, edui hetu hoite ichara udgama. The Lord's desire to appear was born from two reasons. He wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and as the most merciful of all. Report. During the period of Lord Krishna's appearance, the killing of asuras or non-believers, such as Kamsa and Jarasandha, was done by Vishnu, who was within the person of Sri Krishna. Such apparent killing by Lord Sri Krishna was a matter of course as an incidental activity. But the real purpose of Lord Krishna's appearance was to stage a dramatic performance of his transcendental pastimes of Brajabhumi, thus exhibiting the highest limit of transcendental mellow in the exchanges of reciprocal love between the living entity and the Supreme Lord. These reciprocal exchanges of mellows are called raga bhakti, or devotional service to the Lord in transcendental rapture. Lord Sri Krishna wants to make known to all conditioned souls that he is more attracted by raga bhakti than vidhi bhakti, or devotional service under scheduled regulations. It is said in the Vedas, raso vai saha, the absolute truth is the reservoir of all kinds of reciprocal exchanges of loving sentiments. He is also causelessly merciful, and he wants to bestow upon us this privilege of raga bhakti. Thus, he appears as his own internal energy. He was not forced to appear by any extraneous force. The internal explanation of Sri Krishna's descent into this world is explained. But before beginning this chapter, which is very esoteric, very confidential, and very deep, Kaviraj Goswami gives his invocation that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braja, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. This subject matter is unapproachable and inconceivable to the mind and the senses. Kaviraj Goswami makes this clear before even trying to explain it. But it is only revealed to one who receives the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And of course, in order to achieve the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, Kaviraj says, even if one is a foolish child, we have to first accept that we are a foolish child. Actually, that is the qualification to receive Mahaprabhu's mercy, to approach him as a foolish child. Discuss Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, all the Swarup Damodar Goswami, all the great associates of the Lord, how they approach Mahaprabhu with the greatest humility, with the greatest faith only in his mercy, not in any of their own qualifications. So if one approaches the Lord with great faith as a foolish child, then by the mercy of the Lord and by his mercy only can one fully understand and describe the real nature of Krishna, the enjoyer of Vrindavan. After all, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was greatest of all scholars, and Gopinathacharya was not near as great of a scholar of Vedanta as his father-in-law, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. But he had the power to chastise the greatest scholar on all the earth and tell him that all your scholarship is useless, because unless one gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one cannot understand who he is. Unless one gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one cannot really properly understand who Krishna is. So, of course, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, through all of his scholarship, he never achieved that mercy. But when he realized that he was a foolish child, and he fell at the Lord's feet in that humility, then the mercy was upon him. And it was at that time that he realized and understood and was able to describe the glories of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When the Lord appears, it is described, external, his reasons are to annihilate the demons, to reestablish the principles of religion, to protect the pious. This is one reason. In the previous chapter we read that to establish the Yuga Dharma, the congregational chanting of the holy name, that was the second reason. And to fulfill the loving prayers of Sri Advaita Acharya, that compassionate Param Vaishnava who was calling upon him, that was the third reason. So here Kaviraj Goswami is describing something very special, that when Krishna appeared directly, he mixed his incarnation with the ordinary incarnation. You see, for the purpose of annihilating miscreants, reestablishing the principles of religion and protecting devotees, that is the work of Vishnu. That is the work of the Vishnu avatars. Narasimhadev, Vamana avatar, Matsya avatar, they are all avatars of Vishnu. Vishnu is the protector. He is the superintendent protecting all living entities within this material creation. It is his job. Krishna factually has no responsibilities or duties within this material creation. In his expansion of Vishnu, he takes care of all these things. When Krishna appears, Krishna appears only for one reason, to just display the dramatic performances of the Leela of Braja and attract people to that path of Raga Bhakti, or spontaneous love. But according, Krishna appears, as explained by Kaviraj Goswami, once in every day of Brahma. Now, the time of Krishna's appearance, he arranged it to coincide with the time of Vishnu to come to incarnate to perform these external purposes. And therefore, all the avatars, all the incarnations, all the expansions, the Leela avatars, the Manvantara avatars, the Guna avatars, the Purusha avatars, all of these avatars enter into the body of Krishna when he appears. He is Swayam Bhagavan. So when Krishna is killing demons, it was actually Vishnu who was killing the demons, who was in Krishna. That aspect of Vishnu was doing that work. When the protection of the devotees was taking place in Krishna's Leela, it was actually Vishnu that was protecting the devotees, who is present within Krishna. Krishna's only business is to simply manifest the reciprocal exchanges of love. Kaviraj says, the time to lift the burden of the world mix with the time for Krishna's incarnation. Vishnu, who is present in the body of Krishna, kills the demons through him. Killing the demons is a secondary work. And then he explains the real reason why Krishna appeared, the internal reason, the most important of reasons. He desired to appear, he wanted to taste the sweet essence of the mellows of love of God, and he wanted to propagate devotional service in the world on the platform of spontaneous attraction. Thus he is known as supremely jubilant and as the most merciful of all. And it is explained here that Krishna was thinking that all the universe is filled with the conception of my majesty. But love weakened by that sense of majesty does not satisfy me. If one regards me as a supreme lord and himself as a subordinate, I do not become subservient to his love, nor can it control me. In whatever transcendental mellow my devotee worships me, I reciprocate with him. That is my natural behavior. In whatever way my devotee surrenders unto me, I reward him accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects. If one cherishes pure loving devotion to me, thinking of me as his son, his friend, or his beloved, regarding himself as great and considering me his equal or inferior, I become subordinate to him. This is the path of Raga Bhakti, the path of spontaneous love, which is unique in Vrindavan. And this is a very important purport. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, three kinds of devotional or service are described, namely bhakti, ordinary devotional service, shuddha bhakti, pure devotional service, and vidha bhakti, devotional service mixed. When devotional service is executed with some material purpose involving fruitive activities, mental speculations, or mystic yoga, it is called mixed or adulterated devotional service. Besides bhakti yoga, Bhagavad Gita also describes karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. Yoga means linking with the Supreme Lord, which is possible only through devotion. Fruitive activities ending in devotional service, philosophical speculation ending in devotional service, and the practice of mysticism ending in devotional service are known respectively as karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga. But such devotional service is adulterated by the three kinds of material activities. For those grossly engaged in identifying the body as the self, pious activity or karma yoga is recommended. For those who identify the mind with the self, philosophical speculation or jnana yoga is recommended. But devotees standing on the spiritual platform have no need of such material conception of adulterated devotion. Adulterated devotional service does not directly aim for love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, service performed strictly in conformity with the revealed scriptures is better than such vidha bhakti because it is free from all kinds of material contamination. It is executed in Krishna consciousness solely to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are spontaneously devoted to the Lord and have no aims for material gain are called attracted devotees. They are spontaneously attracted to the service of the Lord and they follow in the footsteps of such realized souls. Their pure devotion, manifested from pure love of Godhead, surpasses the regulative principles of the authoritative scriptures. Sometimes loving ecstasy transcends regulative principles. Such ecstasy, however, is completely on the spiritual platform and cannot be imitated. the regulative principles help ordinary devotees rise to the stage of perfect love of Godhead. Pure love for Krishna is the perfection of pure devotion, and pure devotional service is identical with spontaneous devotional service. Flawless execution of regulative principles is exhibited in the Vaikuntha planets, but strictly executing these principles, one can be elevated to the Vaikuntha planets. But spontaneous pure loving service is found in Krishna Loka alone. So here we find the uniqueness of Vrindavan. Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago to attract us especially to the land of Braja and to the Leela of Braja. And how to attain this stage? It is being explained here that the majesty, the reverence of Vaikuntha is not near as attractive to the heart of the Lord as the simple, innocent, spontaneous love of the Vrijvasis. It is described here that when a devotee considers that I am equal to or better than Krishna, that devotion puts the Lord in a subordinate position. He becomes subordinate to that love. Now, how is this possible? This is, as Prabhupada explained, something that we cannot imitate, but is something we can adore and worship. We can understand, we can strive ultimately for this realization. But Prabhupada explains, to achieve this position is something very great and very rare, and it can be done only by the mercy of the Lord Himself. And that mercy comes through the process of approaching the Lord and His devotees like a foolish child, with all humility. Rupa Goswami explains, as Prabhupada is describing here, that the path of Raga Bhakti begins after liberation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach us this. He's come to teach us the conjugal love affairs of Radha and Krishna. To understand this principle from the great acharyas is very important. There is a book that was very highly adored by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And it's in relationship to the obstacles that come in our way on the spiritual path. And the various demons of Braja represent the obstacles on the spiritual path. And there are 18 such obstacles that a devotee must be very, very much understanding and concerned with. So the third of the obstacles is the cart demon, Sakatasura. Now what does Bhaktisiddhanta and his dear disciples say in this regard? The third obstacle is represented by the laden cart. The injunctions of the scriptures are apt to be followed in their literal sense without due regard to their meaning. This carrying of the lumber of scriptural learnings tends to smother the infant Krishna and requires to be smashed with his help at the very outset. If the object of the novice be to realize the state of natural love for Krishna. Does everyone understand that? Yes? Huh? No. This means that when we follow the injunctions of the scriptures, literally, without really understanding the meaning and the purpose behind these rules and regulations. The rules and regulations themselves are like a heavy burden, like carrying a full cart that ultimately smothers the infant Krishna who is within our heart. The mechanical process of following certain traditions, following certain rules, following certain regulations, adopting certain policies in our life according to what we have heard from our forefathers, what we have heard from different sages, according to the traditions, the scriptures, but without understanding the reason why we're doing it, and putting this bhava, putting this feeling into what we're doing. Such adherence to scriptural injunctions is like a heavy cart that is meant to smother the child. That was the purpose of Shakatasura, to fall over Krishna and smother him. And all of the pots and all of the paraphernalia on the cart represents all the various rules and regulations that the scriptures tell us to follow. But then he goes on. The mechanical pedant has no access to Braja. The victims of the pseudo-guru are liable to fall into this plight by being prematurely initiated into the process of the state of a female confidant engaged in the service as of the Manjari. In other words, it's explained that this mechanical process, which is taught by pseudo-guru, the victims of such a pseudo-guru are liable to fall into the plight. And what is the plight? Being prematurely initiated into the process of raga bhakti, being a female counterpart, being a gopi, being a lover of Krishna. Such victims do not realize their misfortune by reason of their mechanical aptitude, which is exploited by the pseudo-guru to their utter ruin. I'll read that again. Such victims do not realize their misfortune by reason of their mechanical aptitude, which is exploited by the pseudo-guru to their utter ruin. So what is this mechanical aptitude? Who can explain?
They become used to following a certain mechanical rituals without understanding the importance of it. And that is sort of exploited by the pseudo-gurus who may be...
Those who follow the advice of such a guru in their worship quickly fall away from the path of devotion. That means the true path of devotion. The amorous mood in such cases can never attain the depth of the truly spiritual process. That means although such persons, they are exhibiting the amorous mood of amorous means intimate love, like the mood of the gopis for Krishna, the mood of pure spontaneous affection of the residents of Vrindavan. The amorous mood that is exhibited and felt by them can never attain the depth of the truly spiritual process. In other words, it's like a shadow. It is something superficial. Such a process can never give you entrance into the real amorous mood of pure love of God. And what he says at the end is, but this is never realizable by the parties themselves. What does that mean? That means what he's saying is they become so infatuated and so proud by this idea that they are so advanced with such love that they cannot hear this philosophy. They cannot understand it. Therefore, it is explained here that at the very onset of one's spiritual life, one should understand these principles of the obstacle represented by the laden cart.
Is how what they refer to here as mixed? Is it the same as Vaidhi Bhakti?
No, it's something completely different. Any questions? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the uniqueness of his incarnation is he is teaching the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna and how to enter in to being the servant of the servant of Sri Radharani in these conjugal pastimes. But how to attain that state, one must be very, very careful and learned of these 18 obstacles so that one will approach this very high and confidential subject matter very carefully and according to the direction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers.
There was a newsletter from you in Davos. People asking in the interface, I'm very happy about the interface conference, but what is the specialty about Gaudiya Vaishnavism? I mean, what is that love of God? She said, love of God, everybody says, but what is specific about our Sampradaya? And then he explains that this attitude of becoming the servant of the servant, the luxury how that is the specialty of this. Something that's likely sort of discourages.
That the essence of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy is to enter into Manjari Bhava. It's also, we must have the direction of such a guru, how to achieve that highest position by the mercy of the Lord. Any other questions? So who is giving class today?